الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. 10 questions and answers on science with the Amir of Ahlus Sunnah. The dua of Amir Ahlus Sunnah's successor. O Lord of Al-Mustafa, whoever reads or listens to the 19-page booklet, 10 questions and answers on science with the Amir of Ahlus Sunnah, protect them from actions which oppose the Sharia and grant them and their parents forgiveness without accountability. Ameen bijahi khatamin nabiyyin sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. The excellence of reciting salat upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Allama Yusuf bin Ismail al-Nabhani rahmatullahi alayhi mentioned a narration in Sa'adat al-Darain in which Sayyiduna Abu Dharr said, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam advised me an usalliyaha fi safari wal hadari, yani salat al-duha. I should perform salat al-duha, i.e. forenoon prayer, whilst travelling and at home. وَأَلَّا أَنَامَ إِلَّا عَلَىٰ وِتْرٍ وَبِالصَّلَاةِ عَلَى النَّبِيَّ. I should not sleep except after performing the witr prayer and reciting salat upon the Prophet. صَلُّوا عَلَى الْحَبِيبِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ مُحَمَّدٍ. Question. What is the ruling on considering Darwin's theory regarding human creation to be correct? Answer. Quite some time ago, I met someone who was well educated in terms of his secular studies. We were both having a discussion when suddenly, I do not know how, but he started talking about human creation and how the Quran asserts that human creation originated from Prophet Adam alayhi salam and human lineage continued from him. Whilst Darwin says that humans evolved from apes. He went on to claim some of what Darwin says makes sense. Hearing this, I was greatly troubled because he had doubted the Quran and said some of what Darwin says makes sense. Why should anyone agree with even a little of something which opposes the Quran? Such an understanding should be given no regard. As soon as I could, I made him repent and recite the declaration of faith, as this statement leads one out of the fold of Islam. It is mentioned in Tafsir Sirat al-Jinan, Muslims believe that the origin of mankind commenced with Prophet Adam alayhi salam. Therefore, he is referred to as the father of humanity, and the beginning of humanity can be proven through strong evidence. For example, it is evident from the population of the world that 100 years ago the number of humans were much less than today, and 100 years before that it was even less. In this way, as we go back in time, we reach a point where the population leads back to one individual, and that individual is Prophet Adam alayhi salam. Similarly, if we look at various lineages and tribes, their large numbers ultimately lead back to one individual. For instance, even though there may be millions of Sayyids in the world, their lineage ultimately concludes with one individual, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Similarly, no matter the number of Bani Israel, they all lead back to one individual, which is Prophet Yaqub alayhi salam. If we continue to trace back ancestors, we find that the culmination of all human lineages and tribes will converge at one individual whose name is mentioned in all heavenly books, and that individual is Prophet Adam alayhi salam. It is impossible for him to have been born through conventional means, i.e. through parents. Because if a father is assumed, then where would the mother come from? And where would the assumed father come from? Therefore, it is necessary for his birth to have occurred without a mother and father. And when he was born without a mother and father, it was undoubtedly through a unique method, which the Quran has described as Allah creating him from clay, which is a fundamental part of the abode of humans, i.e. earth. Moreover, when one human came into existence, there needed to be another entity from which human lineage could continue. However, instead of creating another human from clay without a mother and father, as was the case with the first human, a different method was used, which involved creating from the human that already existed, as a species was already established with the first individual. Thus, the second human was created via a method which was less superior to the first creation, but more than the rest of humans. In other words, Prophet Adam's left rib was taken out during his sleep, and from it his wife Sayyidatuna Hawa was created. Since Sayyidatuna Hawa radiallahu anha was not born through the usual process of male and female reproduction, she cannot be considered as being from the offspring of Prophet Adam alayhi salam. Islam rejects scientific theories that are contrary to the Quran. We should wholeheartedly affirm what the Quran says, because what the Quran has stated is correct. Whether it aligns with our understanding or not, our faith is that whatever is in it is true. For people educated in secular academia, there is a real danger as they include such anti-Islamic scientific theories in their writings. Nowadays, in newspapers or on social media, many things are being discussed that clash with Islamic viewpoints. Some openly start speaking against Islam. It is not easy to convince such people because their language is also quite sophisticated, and they articulate things in such a way that the listener may become disquieted. If someone is knowledgeable and can rectify them, they should do so politely and encourage them to repent. If they adopt a harsh attitude and say, "You are ignorant, discussing religion is the work of scholars," they may become further misguided. Not everyone has enough knowledge to make others understand. So if that is the case, they should try to change the subject, or else they should tactfully leave that place. Question: what is the reality of the Valley of Jinn near Medina? Answer: the Honorable Mufti sat near the Amir of Ahlus Sunnah, Damat Barakatul Aliyah, responded, "The Valley of Jinn, due to it being near Medina al-Munawwara, is a sacred place. However, the phenomenon of things automatically moving upwards or towards Medina in this valley, despite there being a slope, is due to some scientific reason. There are other places in the world where objects move upwards despite there being declivity. It is famous about this area that there are jinn here who push things towards Medina, but there is no evidence or reliable source for this claim." The Amir of Ahlus Sunnah, Damat Barakatul Aliyah, said, "A magnet points towards the polar star. Regarding this, the reviver of Islam, the Imam of Ahlus Sunnah, Imam Ahmad Raza Khan Rahmatullahi Alayh, wrote in Al-Fatawa Al-Razaviyya that science has not yet been able to discover the reason for this. Can it now be said that there is a great jinn sitting on the polar star that attracts the magnet. In any case, things like this, which are not understood or beyond comprehension, are attributed by people to jinn. There is no denial of the existence of jinn. They do exist. Even in Makkah al-Mukarramah, there is a mosque called Masjid al-Jinn, because some jinn had accepted Islam with the Prophet at that place. And as a memorial, Masjid al-Jinn still exists there near Jannat al-Mala. To conclude, the existence of jinn is certain, but it does not mean that anything contrary to reason is the work of jinn. There could be other reasons as well. Question. Everyone wants the latest version of everything, whether it be the latest model of a car or mobile phone, or the latest and most modern and contemporary lifestyle. Is it correct, in your opinion, to evolve with the changing of times? Should a person constantly change themselves with the times, or should they remain fixed in their disposition and all aspects? Answer. As far as Sharia's rulings are concerned, they must be adhered to. Any change that does not contradict Islam will be accepted, and any change that contradicts Islam will be rejected, because the laws of Allah are permanent. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. La tabdila li kalimatillah. Translation from Kanzul Iman. The words of Allah cannot be changed. Prayer is obligatory, and due to the emergence of new scientific technology, prayer will not be excused. For example, if new technology surfaces and it is said that the imam will lead the prayer in the mosque and everyone will pray at home listening to his voice, this will not be acceptable. The requirements for congregational prayer, connectivity of the rows being in the same place, and other rules will not change. You gave the example of taking photos with a digital camera, and that is also fine, but necessity will also be considered. Otherwise, there can be many issues with this as well. A permitted photo is that which falls within the parameters of Sharia. The photos should not be lewd, they should be modest, and such kinds of precautions must be observed. As for the objection that we will fall behind, they will advance, and this is difficult. The reality is that whoever acts according to Islam will in fact progress. Such a person will find a garden of paradise in their grave after death. And whoever, like the liberal person, keeps running after the world, when death comes to them, they will be stuck in their grave completely helpless. In short, whoever continues to follow in the footsteps of the beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his grave will become a garden of paradise, even if he continues to progress via modern technology, because there is no issue in adopting technology that does not oppose the Sharia. From audio cassettes to Madani channel. When the broadcasting of television channels became widespread, we also launched Madani channel. Alhamdulillah, we are now reaping the religious benefits of it. During the era of audio cassettes, which were played on tape recorders, I spent a period distributing audio cassettes. Once, some Islamic brothers came from India, and I presented them with audio cassettes as gifts, whereupon they began staring at me. Plucking up the courage, they informed me that they did not have tape recorders. I then realized that this technology had faded out. Then we witnessed the era of VCDs, and that too came to an end. Following this, the period of the memory card started, and we will see what happens after this. In short, we are moving with technology. For this reason, we were not stubbornly insistent upon using audio cassettes. If we produce them, who would purchase them? No one will accept them for free, even as they are of no benefit to anyone. Therefore, we accept any technology which does not oppose Islamic law. Question. Unfortunately, it has to be said that some people are resistant to change. They stubbornly hold on to whatever was used in the past. The system tolerates them for some time, and then they have to be removed. If we encounter such people in our lives, be it our parents or employees, who do not want to change themselves, should we remove them from the system or keep them within it? Answer. Why do we need to change? Remember the following principle relating to this. Avoid repelling the public. Hence, at times, one has to abandon something recommendable. In fact, there are some sunnahs which one cannot act upon now. For example, the clothing of the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam would mostly be of two garments. However, people would not comprehend someone wandering around dressed in this way. In Al-Fatawa Al-Razaviyya, the example of keeping a shimla for the imama and not keeping it is mentioned. Keeping a shimla for the imama is certainly a sunnah. However, wherever the ignorant laugh at this, the later scholars have taken the opinion of avoiding this in other than the state of prayer. The reason for this is to protect the religion of the masses. Shaykh Abdul Haq Al-Dehlawi Rahmatullahi Alayh states in his treatise Adab Al-Libas, the jurists have much analogical evidence for hanging the shimla, and they deem it an emphasized sunnah. However, the latter scholars do not keep a shimla outside of the five daily prayers to avoid the mockery of the ignorant. Similarly, the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam always wore an izar, i.e. a turband, up to halfway down his blessed shin. Wearing loose trousers, which the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam liked but never wore, is sunnah, as proven from the verbal sunnah. Wearing loose trousers up to the middle of the shin has been mentioned by Imam Ahmad Raza Khan rahmatullahi alayh as difficult to act upon in this day and age, because people will revile someone who does so, as the sunnah is being fulfilled by keeping the pants above the ankles. This should be adopted. This sometimes happens according to the times. For example, na'udhu billah, people consider keeping the beard as censurable. However, one must keep the beard. If someone says, people are repelled by it, so do not keep it, this will not be accepted, as there is a command to keep the beard, and we are bound by the order of Islamic law. However, wherever concession is given, it will be accepted. And where there is no concession, the world can be turned upside down, but we will not accept any concession. If there is no concession in a matter, but someone forsakes it due to a so-called necessity, we will say this was wrong. If it is deemed a sin to leave out a particular action, then it will of course be sinful to abandon that act. However, if there is a scenario which the Sharia deems as compulsion, there will be no sin. For example, if a person said at gunpoint, cut your beard, otherwise I will shoot you in the head. And one understands this is not jest and the person will actually shoot. It will now be permitted for such a person to cut his own beard, and he will not be sinful as his life is under threat. However, such scenarios are rare. In any case, we are Muslims and we are bound by the laws of Allah Almighty and the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. We accept where there are concessions and also accept where there are no concessions. Those who cling to old styles and means are few and far between. I have not seen anyone stubborn in only using old mobile phones. Elderly people are compelled to use outdated mobile phones due to their age. If they purchased modern smartphones, what would they do with them? They do not know how to operate such new technology. However, young people may use old mobile phones if they cannot afford new smartphones. If a person is a pilot and you ask him to ride a horse, he may not even know how to, as people are different. I gave the example of phones, but in the same way, people become stubborn in matters of tradition. So those practices that do not contravene Islamic law should be allowed. In any case, where new technology has granted us benefits, it has also caused us great harm. Question. Inform us of some scientific benefits of planting trees. Answer. There are many benefits of planting trees from a scientific perspective. Trees and plants absorb carbon dioxide and release oxygen, which is extremely important for human life. Without oxygen, humans cannot survive. Allah Almighty created trees and plants for the benefit of human beings. They absorb pollutants and grant us pure air. Trees and plants also prevent increased temperature and air pollution, i.e., they reduce the pollution from vehicle exhaust emissions. If there is an abundance of trees and plants, the habitat becomes cooler and more pleasant. There is also a resultant reduction in electricity consumption, as there is less need for electrical devices for the purpose of cooling. Beautify your beloved homeland with trees and plants. You will save electricity as well. Trees are also a barrier to landslides, as their roots hold back the soil. Therefore, trees should be protected and more should be planted to hold back landslides. Trees and plants are also beneficial in reduction against global warming, which is a result of cutting trees, expanding industry, and relentless exhaust fumes from vehicles. Question. Just as we use science to help us calculate the prayer timings for any place, can we also use science to calculate the moon for the entire year? Answer. Calculating prayer times should not be left to scientists. This relates to the Islamic science of chronometry, i.e. ilm al-tawqit, which many great scholars, rahmatullahi alayhim, contributed to. Therefore, prayer timings will not be taken from scientists. Rather, there will be recourse to scholars. Chronometry is a discipline which is necessary for muftis. As for calculating the moon, this is neither related to scientific research nor chronometry, that calculations need to be made for the entire year in one go. Rather, it relates to the actual visual sighting of the moon. Many Islamic rulings are based upon actual visual sighting of the moon, such as the fast of Ramadan, Hajj rites, and the two Eids. Some astronomers make predictions about the crescent moon on certain days. There is no reliance upon such predictions, or rather, visual sightings are given regard. The Islamic months start when there is proof of this according to Islamic law. Question: with the passage of time, as education advanced, technology made a place for itself in our society. The young generation, especially students, appear to have fallen prey to its harms the most. Guide us, please, as to how its use can be restricted. Answer: modern technology can be used in good and bad ways. However, in our society, it is used more in a negative way and less in a positive way. For example, Madani Channel is using it in a good way, and channels with sinful content use it in a bad way. In this way, some people use technology for good and others use it for evil. We cannot prevent the public from using social media and the internet. However, we can certainly encourage them to use it in a way that benefits them in the hereafter by watching and sharing clips from Madani Channel provided by Dawat-e-Islami's Department of Social Media, for example. One should also keep watching Madani Channel. This is also a form of technology, which is considered electronic media. It is a different matter that with the advent of the internet and social media, the tendency towards channels has diminished. There are many aspects to social media now, and newer avenues are arising. There are some which are now being left behind as people become engrossed in newer things. Dearth of experts due to social media. May Allah shower us with His grace. As the way everyone is immersed in the internet and social media, the Ummah may come to face a lack of experts in every field. Proficient doctors, scientists, thinkers, researchers, erudite muftis and scholars may become rare as students waste their minds on social media. A large number of spiritual guides, scholars and their disciples and students are involved in this. Nowadays, neither the spiritual guide has time to train the disciples, nor do the disciples have time to take benefit from the spiritual guide. Similarly, a large number of scholars spend a lot of time on social media, whereas muftis and scholars are in need of continual study. If they leave studying, they become weak in their knowledge. For this reason, well-versed muftis and scholars do not give their time to social media, fearing that it may eat up their time and prevent them from academic endeavors. Social media's onslaught on the lay people, those from the general public that are also immersed in the use of social media, should reflect on how this causes the prayer to appear unappealing to the heart, and one does not find time for Quranic recital and litanies. Such people go to work reluctantly but are caught up in social media during it. This is a cause of accidents which result in the loss of lives. Those that work in the security field are also immersed in social media. I have also seen security officers in a so-called developed country having a tendency for using their mobiles during their hours of duty. This is the reason that in many organizations, mobiles are collected from staff for the duration of their duty. If you wish to become something, save yourself from the internet and social media and become engrossed in the worship of Allah Almighty, which is the purpose of our existence. Allah Almighty states, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. Translation from Kanzul Iman, and I have created jinn and human beings only for this, that they should worship me. However, unfortunately, people do not find the opportunity to offer prayer. If they do, although they are physically in prayer, their hearts and minds are occupied in social media. People do not even switch off their mobile phones upon entering masjids. Phones are heard ringing during the prayer, impacting people's concentration. It is possible that in some places, elderly people are enraged at this, resulting in great commotion in the masjid. May Allah Almighty have mercy on our states. May we use social media in only permissible ways and become people that do not fall short in fulfilling the rights of Allah and the rights of people. May Allah Almighty save us from frivolities and preoccupiers in studying religious books and acquiring sacred knowledge. Ameen bijahi khatamin nabiyyin sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Question: can specifying a time for using social media bring about a reduction in its harms? Answer: yes, a reduction in the harms of excessive use of social media can be brought about by specifying time for its use. Intelligent people probably do this. For example, they use it a little only between Asr and Maghrib or after Isha or whatever time they find. However, this is most likely only done by those that are busy from a religious or worldly perspective. It is difficult for the general public to do this as they experience a constant restlessness to check who has sent them a message. One of them sets out with a firm intention to offer prayer, but he hears the notification sound on his phone as someone's message arrives. If it is just an ordinary person's message, he can delay looking at it until later. However, if it is from someone special, he feels the urge to look at it immediately or listen to it if it is a voice note. In this way, people miss out on the congregational prayer, and for some, the prayer time expires without them having prayed. Question: it is said that one should switch off the lights in one's home when there is lightning, as lightning strikes a house where the lights are switched on. Is this correct? Answer: I have not read or heard this. If this is accepted, then lightning flashes during the daytime, but does not strike, whereas there is light everywhere. This is a scientific issue and not a matter of religion. Nonetheless, lightning sometimes strikes people and kills them, so it is a dangerous phenomenon. May Allah Almighty protect us from calamities. Question: did any spring gush forth through the blessings of any prophet? Also, inform us of the scientific and medical benefits of spring water. Answer: springs came forth from the blessed fingers of our beloved prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Sayyiduna Salim bin Abi Jad radiyallahu anhu relates from Sayyiduna Jabir bin Abdullah radiyallahu anhu that he said, the people became thirsty on the day of Hudaybiyah. A small pot containing some water was in front of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, and he performed wudu. The people rushed towards him. He asked, what is the matter? They replied, we have no water for performing ablution or drinking except what is present in front of you. So he placed his hand in that pot and the water started gushing from his fingers like springs. We all drank and performed ablution, i.e. wudu. Sayyiduna Jabir radiallahu anhu was asked, how many were you? He replied, even if we had been 100,000, it would have been sufficient for us, but we were 1500. The spring of Zamzam, which we drink from, sprang forth from Prophet Ismail alayhi salam, rubbing his blessed heels. If water gushes out from a mountain or the earth, this is referred to as a spring. Its water differs from other waters. The following information is extracted from the internet. Spring water is naturally cool, pleasant, clear, and appealing in taste. It naturally has a good level of oxygen. Due to its relative lightness, it is digested easily. It improves the digestive system and reduces weight gain. It cleanses blood well. It is composed of a balanced array of minerals. Its pH level is higher. Nowadays, people pay large sums to acquire alkaline water, whereas this is found naturally in spring water. According to some research, doctors prescribe the drinking of spring water to those that have an addiction to intoxicants or a habit of drinking large quantities of tea or coffee. The use of spring water can bring about a satisfactory reduction in these habits. It is also beneficial to the skin as it is pure and light, so it hydrates the skin well and reduces allergies and itching. It cleanses the skin better than normal water. It is also beneficial for hair as it has lower salt content, whereas higher salt content in water is damaging to hair. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad.